Baby, I really wish we could dance together someday.
You know, I'm not a professional dancer. I'm not a dancer. I wasn't born to dance.
So you're saying you are not a professional dancer and you were not born to dance?
Hello, dance lovers. I'm Junior Enrique.
I'm Ana Luisa Luisi. We are the Brazilian couple.
And this is Dance is Dancer Podcast.
Yes.
Season 2.
Season 2, Episode 1. And in this episode, we have the honor to introduce a remarkable guest. His influence on the world of ballet is profound. A talented award-winning choreographer, including the Walter Fink Prize in Karlsruhe, Germany, his choreographic creations, whether classical or contemporary, exude elegance, cleverness, and a rich blend of ethnic influences.
His expertise extends beyond choreography, as he has a unique knack for coaching dancers, propelling them to success in auditions and competitions globally. Personally, Ana and I are constantly using his services. Join us on welcoming our favorite guru, who also happens to be my older brother, Humberto Teixeira.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Well, for you that watch our episodes of the first season, we mentioned Humberto, we mentioned you in many episodes.
All the time.
We mentioned you when we tried raw food, we mentioned you when you helped me with his depression times.
Injuries, everything.
We mentioned you because you
raw food.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. And when you were also the reason why Junior started dancing. So in the very first episode, we mentioned you a lot.
I think I've talked more about you than anyone else in the first season.
So now put a face to the name.
He is the reason why I started dancing. But before we talk about everything, all of the learning experience I have with you, I want to ask you, why did you start dancing? I mean, when it happens, why?
I think dancing
looked like I would start. I know, I know. Oh, there's a pause there.
I start dancing because I was already dancing, like talking, like swimming. You can develop the language, and I have natural in my body movements, and I could stop, couldn't sit in a place, and stay still. So, it was kind of like a natural to go towards. On the beginning, martial arts, and then after dance.
How old are you when you first had an understanding that dance was like a good thing for you, like a fun, I don't know, how did you feel the first time you noticed, okay, I'm dancing. This is part of who I am.
I don't really remember. I remember that. Because look, when you're asking the question, I'm thinking about two areas, two times, different times. One, when I really start to learn samba, watching my cousins in Brazil, and also the one when I start training. Because it is a very interesting thought. I used to watch John Travolta and on
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, but not just this movie, the second one. The one that's more like a Broadway show.
Oh.
And he's the principal, but he's have a little...
There was like two famous movies.
Yeah, so
there's a continuation. Continuation. Yeah.
Part 2, Saturday Night Fever Part 2, probably.
Something like that, yeah. And I remember to think, wait, because I just knew how to go to a martial arts studio and practice. But I see that was something like a system of movements. And in my head, I'm like...
Just
practice. And I was like, oh, if I go and I practice. And then that's what I did in the beginning. Maybe, I don't know, 13, maybe even earlier. No, because around 80 years old, I was dancing Michael Jackson.
80?
8. 8 years old.
Okay.
And
one thing that I always noticed about you is that you were like older than your age. You know what I mean? Like the way you think, the way, even though you're a clown and you're like a kid, forever kid, you always like ahead of your time. Maybe because you always like to learn and to read and to find out about history and everything. I feel like you're always searching for more
things. Yeah, I like to learn a lot. And dancing was interesting because of that. Because you have to really learn. And there's so much to learn, especially if you're doing ballet, like which was what I started doing for serious. And yeah. But at the same time, in some way I couldn't stay still. So moving was the best, you know?
Right.
Like,
so how do you feel? I mean, whenever you were moving? Because you probably like, if you're moving a lot, if you have a lot.
But and also not just moving, because there's a very interesting thing about this, is that I was, the doctor said that, and I don't know if it's true, but he said, you're born, you want to have problem with asthma. He knew already. Mm-hmm. And I have crazy problem with asthma. And I did everything, swimming, martial arts, soccer, all the sports until like 16. I did everything, martial arts and everything. And still I have, every 2-3 months, I have an attack mm-hmm. and go to the hospital and couldn't breathe and everything. After I started dancing, never happened again.
Mm.
Even though I was moving a lot before, the dancing has something with my emotional. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but emotionally, did something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that's why now at 45, I see it in another way, not just as performing,
right,
but as integration for you, for yourself. And that's why dancing is really a language that.
So you'd say dance is the answer?
Dance is the answer.
Dance is the answer, yeah.
I remember when I was like probably, I think my first experience, I shared it here before, but my first experience with a concert, with the show, my hometown, because my hometown, we didn't have a cinema, we didn't have concerts, nothing, right? But then one day, we went with my parents to watch you perform with your friends. You guys were like impersonating Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So your friend was like, he really looked like Michael Jackson.
He looked like it, yeah. He looked like him when he was doing
Thriller.
Yes. He looked so much.
I know. And then skinny, long legs. Yeah. And the hair was the same.
Yes.
It was amazing.
The voice similar to him.
Right?
Not singing, but
talking.
You when he was talking, it was very similar. I think he was...
Yeah, it was very low.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people...
He truly loved him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember... watching the performance, and Alberto was like one of the dancers, one of the top dancers. And for me, it was like magic. Yeah. I remember seeing that. And I also later on, they had a cinema there,
mm-hmm.
Cine Regina.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a Michael Jackson impersonator from the big city, your town.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
And those are like my first memories of like, what the fire could be like,
you know, yeah,
for me.
We
I was thinking the other day.
No, I wasn't thinking, but it just came to memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that we had like maybe 3 VHS of Michael Jackson, Madonna, and some maybe Bob Fosse or some, and we just watched this all day, all the time.
Was it
Larry Hill as well? Another one.
Baryshnikov, of course.
Baryshnikov, but this came later.
When ballet was like really the focus.
Yeah,
no, because when I started dancing, was because of you. Umberto came to me once and he was like, I was like obese. And then he always worried about me, like, you have to exercise because he was crazy about Bruce Lee and all of you were crazy about everything that was really good. So your influence.
Everything that's really good.
It was really good. Your influence.
Some dangerous things as well.
He was influenced by Bruce Lee. Jean-Claude Van Damme, Jackie Chan,
what was the other? I have to say some other people too.
Some intellectuals.
No. I'm saying that I'm kidding because of those 3 that he said for me.
No, but look,
awesome.
No, there was like some.
But I'm like, let's say some philosopher. Do I talk about
no? That's the crazy thing about you.
No, you do. You actually painters like you know the history of like even the prize that you won. He was about Van Gogh.
And
so you actually
tell us about the story. What had it cost?
No, not just that.
Talk a little close.
I was talking the other day with my wife about this. I didn't learn art the way we learn art normally. And even is never came to my head. I think if I have to go to a school of art and study art like people do, I would not learn it. I didn't learn that this was not like I could see when I was in Europe, I could sit with some people from Brazil that like I looked like a beginner in any type of art. They knew everything when it came from what it means and what is this and what is that. And why Van Gogh, yes. Yes, and like why Van Gogh when he started to see the little dots from the Japanese style and how and they knew. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so ignorant, close to the street. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that everything I did with dance and with art was a necessity. Mm-hmm. Like the Van Gogh, I wanted to read about his life more. So what I did, I started to study ballet, to create a ballet for him. So I want to study his life. I felt already connected with him when I read that he was also trying to be going towards religion at the beginning. Now, today, I always say this to my students or friends that I see the three parts that the human being was able to put together. One is religion, the other one politics, and the other one arts. And I was one for the arts, but I know that many artists went to the other guys too. You know, like,
and I feel like it's not my place.
Some
people, yeah, like, but for me, it's not.
And even with art, it's not normal for me. We didn't grow up going to the museums,
right?
Yeah, like, well, my case was more like my grandfather in his house. There was a giant library, and we just all the time checking books and things.
And music,
of course. Can never forget about that my grandfather with music, he played his life, man. But then I start to learn art because I truly could be a little bit talk like I know because I travel a lot. But I think I won the prize in Germany exactly because of beginner's mind, not because of knowledge. Mm-hmm. To be
a new vision.
How can I learn Van Gogh's life? How can I breathe like him?
Isn't it like
the dancers, you know?
Be curious as a child.
Yeah.
You kind of had that.
Yes.
Like you're curious about things and like when you see something you're curious about, you go deep into mm-hmm. that thing. Mm-hmm. Like a child would.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And I feel like every time we get together with him, by saying that we use your services, not only your courses and everything you have to teach him, but like even a conversation with you, sometimes when you come and we meet, Anna and I, as soon as you leave, we're like...
The brains. It's like...
We are always... We buy all the books.
Hands.
Every book we have, everything we have. Every now and then, it's like because Humberto mentioned something, and then I goes by the new thing.
Yeah. That's why I say, that's why I feel like, even with choreography with you guys, I am the person that's going to bring resources, and we're going to play with that on you. So it's not so much that I am just the child trying to learn new things, but I have this mentality of the guy that go to China
and
bring the urns or go to Amazon. When I went to Amazon, I had so much herbs in my bag that the guy was like, "What's this smell here?" Because I have like all the healing herbs, and so I am this person. I would like to go and bring knowledge. Like I say, when I had two friends in Brazil. They were brilliant. And one of them is, we call him the scientist. And the other one is, he's more a policeman, but he's a psychologist, he's a national state champion in jiu-jitsu. These guys are like strategists. And I remember when I was sitting with them, it was like 15, I was like, how can I learn like this? Like, mm-hmm. Because one of these guys would get a... Marcio, the oldest one, you go to a library and get this medicine books like this thick, like 3-4 of them, and in one weekend read everything. And like this, I was like, wow. And another teacher that I have that was like, this was my ballet teacher, my first ballet teacher, which is Pablo Moret, which is like a non-intellectual from Cuba that really, like this type of, that's another level of intellectual. And he was another one that taught me to be crazy about thick books. Mm-hmm. Like you say, I see thick books, and it's like when I see foods,
wow.
I get like, oh my God. Yeah. And this got a little bit problematic because I'm hyperactive and full of those hyperactivity problems and everything. I went and I bought so much books that I never read. I remember that I came to my friend, my friend from San Francisco, Ballet, came to my house and looked and said, do you really read all of this? But you know what I should have done? I should have asked him to test me a little bit. Because because look, guys, people that have attention disorder, you shouldn't try to read and keep reading and keep reading and keep forcing yourself until it. No, you keep switching. And then you go back and you switch and you go back. And when you see, you read the whole book. That much same thing.
I think that's the thing I agree with you 100% because I feel like for me, one thing that I hear from people is like, oh, you're always doing something. You're always doing something new. Oh, you're always changing. Oh, but you're an actor and you're a dancer and you're also a social media content creator. It's like some people don't understand that. But for me, it took me a long time to understand that that's how I function.
Yeah.
If I have to do only one thing, I think I would go crazy.
And I have to say that I'm quite the opposite of
it. Yes.
That overwhelmed me so much. Just hear about that, like, yeah. Get the book and hear one page. No, for me, it's like, if I start this book,
yeah,
I'm going to start from the before page one. Like, I'm going to read in the order. Mm-hmm. That's what suits me. So right. I say that because everybody is different. Like, we're all three artists. Mm-hmm. We're all in the dance world.
Yeah, I agree.
We're all family, but we're very different.
Yeah, so
but
different.
Yet, we complement each other in the beautiful way, I
yes,
say.
For sure.
Like, and when I say you are a guru, mm-hmm. it's because we really trust everything Umberto says. For some reason, he has a power on us, and it's not on everybody, because he always shared the best of the things. He does his experiments first. You do your experience.
And I survived some of them.
Yeah, there was there.
Somehow,
thank God.
There was there not good. He says, oh, don't do that because I did. It was terrible. I almost died. But there was there are good. You always willing to teach us and to pass it along. And not only us, you try with your parents as well. Not everybody's willing to, I guess, accept it. For some reason, you have such a power on the two of us.
Yeah. But
because
you know why?
But that sounds funny. Power.
No, because they really...
Can you give me $5,000?
No.
Well, that's not what But what I'm saying is, you really... Jun and I are different in that way, for example, right. That he just said. But we get at the same page when we are with you and say, guys, you have to follow this because this is so good and it isn't. And we really try. It's really usually good for us.
I would like just to say one more thing about this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But because you guys listen, one of the amazing guys from Japan I met, he was at NLP Center with me, with the master, while doing the master. And we learned some very cool hypnosis, beginning with the hypnosis pattern, and then the exercise unfolds. And this exercise, I said, Ana, Juninho didn't have time this day.
Right.
And this is what, 18 years ago. And I said, Ana, do you want to do it? And then she came. And then this guy, we prepared the exercise. She did it. He was grateful to me that we have a person to do the exercise because we just finished the course and we needed to practice.
Yeah.
And I remember that the other day your face already changed. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened with Juninho. He came. And so that's what I'm saying. For me, to see the things that I was studying and they being useful to help, really,
right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was trying because I, in some way, I knew I had to learn. All of this, I'm going somewhere else.
No, it's right. Listen. Go ahead.
This all started with, in Brazil, I bought a Tony Robbins book. And I got crazy. Like always, I got like, what?
Is this? What is this?
What is that? Yeah. And then I start to do the things and apply and learn the system. And this is what Humberto at 18 years old.
Wow.
And my students couldn't get in a bus to go compete. I really was teaching
her. Why? Should I have a break?
Because her bus, Brazil, okay, don't be afraid of my country, but you have to be with people that know where they're going.
Yeah.
So one of her bus, the bus that she went to school, people came in with weapons and robbed everybody and kept them hostage for a couple of hours. So she was like 8 years old. So when she was dancing with me, she was 14 already. And Adriana said, the director of the school said to me, Humberto, you're talking about this, you think you can help? I'm not going to say her name because it's, I never told her about that. I was going to say the story, but she's my student, dear friend. And so I said, would you work with her on something? Do you know if you can help her? Because she can't get in the bus. And if she get in the bus, she feels sick though.
She's traumatized.
And I don't remember what I did. I just remember that I took my book, I went to the studio with her, and we did ballet, and then after we did the exercises.
Okay, wow. Good.
Couple of weeks after, I'm in Belo Horizonte dancing, and Adriana called me. I was such a bad kid. I know, I was not a bad kid, but I was such a...
Menace.
Dennis the menace. So I grew up thinking people, oh, they're coming to say something. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. When I got the call, I got the director of the school where we were working. Humberto, somebody want to talk to you at this time. We had no cell phone. And I went there. When I did this, my face got pale.
Mm-hmm. And then the girl.
Her name is... So our student was able to compete, compete without any problem.
Okay.
What did you do? From this day on, I already have like this, I found something
helps.
We were talking about this guy here, né? Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer, when he was 5 years old in the orphanage, the kids there crying that were abandoned or they didn't have their parents and they had to live there. It was natural for him to come to them and say, no, this is God, is a teaching. You're going to become better. It's going to be okay. It was in him.
It was natural.
To do this to others. And I remember Juninho made me realize that I did this with him when he was little. Because we were asleep thinking about our dreams. And we're part of something. Mm-hmm. Why do we have this talent of dancing?
Right.
And, you know, and Wayne Dyer, in some way, made me think like that. You know, like he also, since he was little, he had this. But at the same time, guys, you can be completely stupid and arrogant about it. You can be completely thinking you are better than others. It's the opposite. You have to think, I want to serve whatever I'm doing. I want to serve my art. And I want to touch people in their heart with art. And another... I'm starting to go too
far. No, go ahead.
Very strong.
Feel free.
Very. You're very welcome to say anything you want here.
Yeah, okay. So let's go on. So, look at this. One other thing, I keep finding things too, because the truth is, all of this is not coming from a happy place. All of this is coming from a deepest, darkest corner in my heart. Yeah? It's to try to deal with this person that I am not, but I learned to be. Yeah? We're always trying to get better than what we were born like. So, I'm using art. And I'm quoting Krishna Das now, because Krishna Das, that's what he said. I said, why are you playing? Because you just want to be a rock star or something. He said, no, I play because the deepest corner of my heart, I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm not going to go there if I don't play. You understand? So dancing for me, because there was a time when I lost completely my passion for dance. And exactly I found it. And that's why last quote about is when I remember reading Iyengar book and he said, Asana? No. My body is my temple. Like Asana, my body is the temple. Asana is my prayer. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very poetic, né, to say like this. But it's true in some way for me. And if you think about my healing happened when I started dancing. Mm-hmm. And I was like all the time, I'm forgetting, I'm looking at the camera like, hello.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but I, yeah, my healing happened in my life when I started dancing. Which means when I engage my emotions in some way, whatever the way the teacher know how to do. But you see, when I, last year when I was studying much more about dance therapy and things like this, I found a group from Spain. They understood that connection happened when you dance, and it's you can say it's your deeper self, you can say spiritual self, or something. Everybody is going to find a way to explain what it is. But the truth is that there's some. Okay.
The connection to yourself or to someone else?
To something deeper than you yourself.
Like going deep inside.
Yeah.
Within you.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I also...
Also could be a connection.
I actually heard that from my dentist, the mind. That is true.
That's cool.
But she's not my dentist, actually. But I went to her once when we were in Bon Special.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that because she found out that we were dancers and everything. And she said that sing brings us closer to God. But dance is the heartbeat or the... What do you put the music? The you know when you have a music say, oh, let's listen to the heart.
Oh, yes. It's Wim Hof, the guy.
Vibration.
Life is a rhythm.
Yeah, what's the...
From the heart, and every heart...
You have even in your subconscious.
Yeah,
on,
yeah,
you have
that's
the,
why.
No, you have it in
every heart
station, which is just the heart. I thought it's
vibration. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That, she said, when we dance, we get more of that. Then I forgot what's the word. It's like vibration or...
Mm-hmm.
Then when you sing, because I don't know, I think it comes from... A deep, like saying, a deeper place. And you actually, I don't know, using your whole self in order to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Where you see, you can kind of isolate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you said that, and it reminds me of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then she said, oh, and that's why dancers are so happy. I'm like, oh, okay. Then that was...
But it's true.
But
that's very important because...
That's where you're closer to God.
One thing that I notice every time that I get... We were talking about injury before, and not in this episode, but we talked about injuries. And every time I get an injury and I'm not able to...
Frequency. Yeah.
That's it. But... Every time I have an injury and I can't dance for a while, and then I realize how much dance makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like how much I feel sad if I'm not doing what I do. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like dance do makes people happy. Mm-hmm. Period.
You change your state.
But look, even maybe just we'll see how life is. Just because of today in the morning I'm studying about this, and now
mm-hmm.
there's stuff.
That's great.
Buto is the dark side. Is maybe it would be like the shadow in contemporary dance,
mm-hmm.
and it's getting in touch with your emotions, no matter if they are happy or not.
Right.
And one of the causes of sickness, it's exactly to not
see that.
Or to not be aware of this there.
Right.
We have many sides.
So like I'm going
to
be happy, happy, happy.
To
happy.
Ignore that side.
Your shadow will come for you. So it's important. Dance can be also, like that's why I thought it was helpful for me. But it was unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt happier or more center when I finish dance.
Right.
Yeah. Like
because dance is not, sorry, cutting you. It's not only being happy because throughout, let's say a practice, mm-hmm. if you call it a practice, there will be some very hard times while you're preparing for a performance, let's say.
Yes.
The happiness of doing something you love, of course, something you're passionate about, it's important to know and to call it as a happiness, but it's not only happiness throughout the whole thing. Like the outcome, the performance, I performed.
Feels so good.
That's like the ups of the feeling, right? Of the whole process. But I know, doing the whole thing, we deal with pain the whole time.
Oh, no. Actually.
Let's see, what it's something like that.
That made me realize that a lot of times, some sort of dances, including your choreography, Retorno, there was some section of that dance where we improv a little bit. Mm. It was very beautiful music, and that brought me to sadness.
Uh-huh.
But I was happy to perform that. But
this moment was kind of like, yes.
Moment, same thing when we danced a piece of Eleanor.
Right.
Yeah. Regret me.
You would cry afterwards.
That's a whole like story of the war and everything. But there's also a love story in between, which is Juno and I. But I was some types of choreography, some choreographies, Retorno is one of them. Mm-hmm. The duets you made for us for the four elements, mm-hmm. is another one of them. Mm-hmm. The Ellen Tarps one, some choreographies make me really leave my highest emotions, either the happy that I can be and the saddest that I can be. And sometimes it's not even related with the dance itself or the story of the dance itself, but it's the emotion that I bring to dance that. Or actually not that I read, but the emotions that I felt when I was
because,
doing those steps in that music.
Because you're present.
Yes.
That's it.
And this?
And aware.
Yes.
Exactly. Letting go and holding on together.
Right.
Yeah, you're letting go of things, some things, but also holding on to others,
yeah.
to other things.
You're playing.
But look, that is another even one, third way of thinking about it. Okay. You're having a hard time home, but you have to go. Remind me of the David Goggins, the Navy SEAL, that you wake up in the morning and it's going
to
be
have to make it happen.
30 miles, you know, something like that. And he has to go.
That's the athletic side of it.
No, and also, and let's say you have a routine to dance, like this piece, mm-hmm. yeah, from the four elements. You are having a hard time. This piece can be a way to, like if you're putting charcoal in a corner,
express,
to clean the bad energies.
Right. Right.
Sound a little bit too
esoteric. No. Breathing the positive, breathe out the negative.
Yes. No, and just, instead of, because let's say you're stressed. So when you're stressed, you are more shallow breathing. And
right.
Right. So go to the studio, go to the rehearsal, or even on your living room and
reveal it off.
Breathe and move a little bit and get a little, maybe break a sweat or something.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're like, and so that's why using it not just to dance and to feel like, this is this, but also using it as therapeutic.
Right.
As like, I need to do this.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of our art, dance. It's like, without not even know, because we come from a family of, I say always, I come from a family of dancers. My wife is a dancer. My brothers are dancers. Your wife's a dancer. She's a dancer. And yet, a lot of times now that I'm getting older, I understand. I'm able to see the everything that we've been through as a dancer, and I appreciate like the moments that you know that sometimes I was not that happy, but dance was there for me.
Yeah.
But you didn't know. It was like a set. Period.
It's funny, like we still have those. Like I just now have this realization. I thought I always bring my emotions, but no, I actually get the emotions by dancing. It's the opposite. Like so, I think sometimes, of course, you can you can think of an emotion for the dance and then try to convey that, but. Most of the time is the other way around. Most of the time, by starting in because of the music and the steps and the breathing that you require for each thing, you actually receive that emotion like naturally.
I think you get touched in a way. And then that emotion gets to be flourished or whatever. Because a music,
One very silly thing that I always do, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but like when I eat the food that I really love, I'm like, I eat and I dance. Like, because I feel good.
How about celebrations of soccer players or football players or amazing athletes that when they win, they just do a little dance.
They do a little dance. Yes. Or that when you win the lottery or whatever, like, they do that.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's, and that's, I think that's more common for people to do when they're happy. Mm-hmm. They do a little dance. But when you're professionals, I would say, I don't think it's a natural thing for non-dancers dance when they're sad. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a natural
but
thing.
I know a lot of people that dance whenever they're sad and they're not dancing. They just get in front of the mirror. Like we're talking about.
But I'm saying, like, for professional dancers, we can use dance on those moments to look as sad, to relieve.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
To release.
Yeah. And that's what exactly when you get too technical, you lose a little bit of that. When you get too loose, you get a little bit, it goes a little bit of the pleasure, which is it. Patterns, clean. Like, that's why people, sometimes I know, because I eat on both tables, which is contemporary world and also the classical. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes you need a little pattern there to make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
Just improvisation. Even if people say, oh, but no, it's not. Even William Forsythe, all his research, he was creating patterns for people to improvise. If you don't know how to step by step walk, how can you start running?
And it's this exact same, example, like different people for different things. Like for me, I rather you to give me the choreography than to improvise, because I get on my head a lot when I have to improvise.
Something. Right.
Mm-hmm. But maybe for you, it's easier to improvise. Like the way you read a book, for example, you start from the page, like you're saying, and then you go here. And for me, it needs to be more structural. Mm-hmm. I need to follow, and then I can.
Yeah. But look, you, what I call it more is like sharpening the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like have to keep sharpening. So that's why I'm saying, like, I would like to be able to have some system to practice, mm-hmm. yeah? But that's why when you practice enough a system, it becomes an opening for improv.
Right.
But that's why I'm saying, if you just improvise, which is not a problem either for awareness, is very good, but to perform and go on stage, I think we have to find, like William Forsythe, structure with, like Bruce Lee say,
freedom.
You say freedom, but it's like, freedom. Structure, but with freedom that you, with...
I know the word you're looking for. It's not freedom. It's...
Liberty?
No, it's that freedom too. But it's more like, when you open to something, not open, but like flexible.
But also,
open-minded.
Just like this. You know where you have been, yeah, and you have practiced a little bit. Now you can go and be more natural there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the beginning, like
when you know the way,
like we're contacting pro people, the first day people try to fool you all the time and try to make you do things. But after a couple of weeks working with a good teacher, you're already stopping to think that you have to say it and listen. So, and then both of you find the pace together. So after you do this for like a couple of hours, might be too much, will depend on the level, or like sometimes can be very, like, I remember in Germany, we changed the shirt 5-6 times in 2 hours. Like that's water. And so you don't need that much. But one of the things that happen with people that do improvisation, including that's one thing that I think I would like this year to do with you guys, get a group to do a little bit of improvisation with the method, of course, not random, like just free, but with the method, and use the improvisation to create patterns and choreography.
Mm-hmm.
to see what's natural and how you, the breathing, how you do it, and then to create patterns. I see Ricardo Scheier, the choreographer, doing this a lot.
You know what came to my mind? We had the performance for the Four Elements at the Brazilian Consulate. And we were just in Brazil when we got the invitation, right, to perform there and to have our exhibition. And we were completely out of shape. Like, we were just enjoying vacation. And then I was like, yeah, no, we got to do it. Like, yeah, but let's do it. One, as soon as we get back to America, we're going to start rehearsals, put everything together. But yet we were like, oh, it's going to be so hard, you know, like rehearsing, get back in shape and everything. So long story short, we got here, we got to perform. And then one of our friends, Andre, came to see the performance. And he was like, oh, so you guys got to dance line. Can we just see you guys dance? I'm like, it's something very easy because, you know, we're going to choreograph something for Anna and I, and it's going to be very easygoing. And it's easy.
Heartwarming choreography, more light.
Yes, more light. And yeah, very easy. But as soon as we performed, we were talking to everybody. He came to me, he's like, Trio, you said you'd do something easy. There was nothing easy about that choreography. And then I was like, yeah, it was easy. And he's like, no, it's very hard. So then I realized it's rare when we do something like this, where we breathe throughout the choreography. And I think the choreography was made as a breathing exercise in the beginning.
I use as a tool, but the thing is that I use the breathing as the trigger to the movements and the emotions. And I think that's why it feels natural doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was about to correct that. It's not that it was easy, but it became really natural for us. It's like when you walk.
Right.
Like we could do it, you could pull off to that duet tomorrow if you'd like, because it's natural for us.
Now. You know when I realized this? I already realized this long time, but there was a moment when I was like, whoa, I pulled myself together. When we did my first ballet for New Jersey Ballet, what's the name?
Tamoya.
And an important choreographer from Brazil came to watch.
Right.
So it was, again, very insecure. And I'm like, oh my man. And I start to find mistakes on everybody. And I'm like, oh, what if the show is today? And you know, there's just insecurity. Like, I don't know why.
I was very, very sure about what I'm doing. But when this choreographer, Christina, it was my teacher. I admire her so much. I was like, oh, how am I going to do this?
I always have with me. This is one something God gave me from childhood. I don't know. When I was little about me, is that I have a part of me that get patient with things and know something's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah? And I forgot what else.
Oh, you're saying.
She can't just see your choreography.
Cristina Helena. Okay, so she came. And I'm like, what is that? Something's missing here. And the piece was nice and everything was very simple, everything. The scenario was just a painting of the Amazon, a forest. It was not so much the lights and so no way. It was more by the way, made the piece in what? 6 days? 5 days?
Yeah. It was the first time.
It was like boom. And then I asked myself the question, and this is a great thing to say, is ask yourself what it is and say, I don't know yet. And wait. Because I was like, what is missing on this piece? It looks a little bit dry. And even though I know on this stage everybody going to work hard and everything. Then I came to you and I said.
That was during rehearsal.
Yeah. I came to Anna and I said, no, I think about breathing. Think about breathing when you're doing it. And then the show was like another human being there. Everybody changed from this breathing thing. And that day I said, is the breathing? Because look at this. When I watch Chinese traditional dance, I didn't know how can they make it that beautiful smooth wood. It's even hypnotizing.
Right.
And you see their breathing.
Everything is
the breath. And then I said, this little tip that I gave you made the whole dance change completely. And this day on, I start to get curious. Because look at this. How long you guys know that I've been studying yoga, breathing techniques, Pilates, stuff?
Since I can't remember.
Yeah. Forever, right?
Forever.
You got to say the choreographer came to work with me in his piece before I hurt my knee. He taught me that I was a beginner in breathing. Beginner. Mm-hmm. Watching him work with me, the way he worked with me, I was like, oh my God, I was exhausted on the end. And by doing all the Wim Hof and all of it, but dancing, using breath, using for you as a trigger for emotion, as a way to be more fierce about it. It really cleans your system, like you're going to a sauna or something. You feel your moans, like what was like, wow. Right. And I look at my wife, she was like,
tired too.
Like, wow, how we don't know how to breathe, right? Even though we train
it's
a lot.
Because in classical ballet, we are actually, we don't breathe loudly enough because I don't think it's a thing, right? You would have to actually mask
you
it,
pretend.
Put a smile on your face and hold your breath sometimes. And it's like when you start doing contemporary dances or even in class, there you're allowed to breathe loudly. That then you're like...
Or acting too, like...
You have to breathe.
Get in contact, yeah.
It makes everything so much natural.
Yeah. You get
less
bought.
Painful.
For sure.
Less, yes.
You lighter when you breathe.
You guys bought a long time ago a book that I was reading that the guy was talking about that, about how shallow we are in that. Right. You sit in a place to watch TV for the next 2 hours, you're going to be shallow.
It's very like a...
Mm-hmm. How would it be if you...
Oh, that's one thing I do every morning.
Fill up your lungs many times during the movie you watch. Yeah. By the end of the movie, your blood is alkaline. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Something like that. Your blood is better.
All right.
Okay, but there's one more thing that was missing there. I forgot now.
Good. Oh, so it was not missing.
Last thing.
If you forgot.
The last thing you were saying, and I was going to just.
I don't remember. It's the time where the brain, whenever we have a talk with the word, the brain's like
brain fart.
The brains are not brain fart, but the brain's already boiling.
That's why we need to dance.
Boil. Yeah. Yes.
We need to dance to make it. Yeah.
Actually, I wanna like this whole episode, in the back of my mind I have this discussion for the whole episode. Which is, it's very curious, I guess, to be in a family where three brothers, one sister, but the sister doesn't dance, and the three brothers
She did Muay Thai martial arts.
That would be fine, huh?
No, but she danced ballet too.
Yeah, but she did a professional. I was saying, like, the three of you became professional dancers. But even if you weren't professional dancers, dance was part of your daily lives, of a culture, I feel like in Brazil, we have more of a culture of dancing, like, right? Like, we're very musical.
Yeah,
every party, there's music. Sometimes a year ago to the parties, there is no music playing. So I feel like in Brazil...
That's true. Where's the music?
Going to a bar or a restaurant, there's no music for me. Well, now
supposed to be dancing.
Yeah, like in here, it's more fun to have the TV on and the
sports
conversation.
Bar, yeah.
But in Brazil, it doesn't need to be carnival or a specific party. Like you go to any party. I'm going to do my birthday party. Finished school. I'm going to throw a party. That all is going to be music and dance involved. And I feel like Brazilians, I mean, of course, there are Brazilians who are shy to dance and don't like to dance, or at least they say so. But it's very organic for us to move and to dance.
Yes.
Even capoeira, which is...
Yeah, we have, like America, we also have a lot of effect from the African cultures.
Right.
Yeah. And in our case, that's why I say about choreography and my research to make new pieces now is this to bring that flavor that Belo Horizonte, Rio, they have, because this is the mix that makes that melting pot that creates some flavor, you know, like the Grupo Corpo.
It's a mixture of things.
Yeah. So I believe that the dance and how can I say? Is stirring
story?
Stirring up, yes. Many things
flavors,
together. Many things, yes. And in Brazil,
spices.
Think about it here.
Right.
jazz, blues,
and rock, everything.
Rock and roll. So in Brazil, samba, bossa, forró, maracatu.
Pagode.
No, we have so many rhythms that cannot count here. I spent my life knowing Brazilian music, and I got in Amazon and I found like five Brazilian rhythms.
It's a different part of Brazil, right?
Yeah.
So imagine this, everybody here now, just a second. Imagine
the girls and the dancers on the middle with a big flower here, long skirt. And all the sand, all the sand.
And 40 drums around.
Yeah, and they dancing there. It's this, my vision when I went to Amazon first time and I watched a round of Caribó, which is the African walk, the African swing and rhythm, the hands of the Europeans, which kind of like remind us of ballet, and the walk of the native.
Nice.
Oh my God.
Well, imagine I was a professional dancer already. I was competing. I choreographed for many
years. Yeah, goosebumps.
When I got there and I saw these 40 drums, beautiful people moving together. The guys look like they are gods too, like all muscular and ripped, you know. And watching this, my culture, I said, oh my God, this is Brazil.
Didn't even know
that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that we have this thing with our dance. It's natural for us because also, and think about it, the Latin cultures.
Right.
Because there is something about the romance and the music. By the way, one thing that I never forget about this is that our language is also considered by people like Cervantes, consider our language, the most musical and romantic language in the world.
Mm.
It's beautiful. And if you put this with dancing, we dance in the way the language starts to become too creative.
We have so much to talk about.
So yes. I just want to wrap it up with a question that we always get from people that follow the Brazilian couple mostly, that they see our videos dancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the questions come from the woman, but we also get some men's questions as well. Like, They usually comment like, oh, I wish my spouse would dance with me like that. I wish I had someone to dance with me like that. Oh, I used to dance with my husband like this, but he doesn't dance anymore. So I was just like, since I have the two of you, the two men here, like I wanted to do this pretending scenario. And then Umberto guides me with the right things for the woman or for the partner to say to your spouse. It could be either a woman or a man. In this scenario, would be junior and I. Mm-hmm. But like, how could I make my spouse dance with me?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to close out the episode.
I want to say one thing before, because like this, it's not that there is a right way, but to think about it and to exercise how to talk and how to work with that. That's how you find your own way. Yes, because truly, sometimes there is words that are going to work. You're going to work exactly for this person, but it could completely be different from the other one. So what we are trying to do is to keep the conversation and also find out about ourselves. Yes, because it might not work for everybody.
Right.
Yes. But at the same time,
here's something to try.
Yes, to try. Yes.
So because the way they write is like we have the answers. We're like, okay. We
No, we'll give you scenarios too.
Scenarios.
So we came up with three scenarios here, and Junior and I is not gonna be on in Junior anymore. We're not the Brazilian couple anymore. We're not professional dancers now.
Laura.
We don't dance every day, and I really wanted you to dance with me, but you just don't.
Right.
And you gave me all these excuses. So, baby, I really wish you would dance with me, like this couple that I saw on social media.
Oh, you know, babe, I wasn't born to dance. I'm not a dancer. It's,
You weren't born to dance, but How, what make you think you're not born to dance?
Not only that, but you also, every time we try, you start making fun of me. You didn't say that I have two left feet.
So you're saying the reason why you're not born to dance is because I tell you you have two left feet?
Not only that, but also my friends, you know, they don't support me and they always make fun of me.
Well, it was never my intention to make you feel like you were never born to dance. Matter of fact, I really remember the times that you danced with me, like, for instance, in our wedding day, we danced, and I actually think you're dancing pretty well, but I don't know how to go back to make you think that you could dance with me.
Yeah, I remember that, but not only everything else, but also, you know, I don't want to make fool of myself. I'm afraid I'll be raging for myself.
Are you shy to dance with me? No. Okay, how about this? How about we make fool of ourselves together? Would you dance with me then?
That sounds good.
Really?
Yeah, if it's like that, yeah, sure. It has to be in our kitchen.
Sure. We can also hire the Brazilian couple to give us some lessons.
Oh, the couple you talked about?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Really?
I mean, yeah. If you are willing to make fool of yourself as well.
I'm always... You know what? I didn't say that. But actually, Charlie Chaplin said that. Failure is unimportant. It takes courage to make a fool of yourself.
I like that.
All right.
That was, guys, what is a professional actor? That they improvise. Yes. And you know, one thing that can be done is that the wife can, or the husband can tell the person back what they just said. So
Okay, let's say.
I cannot dance. Oh, so you're saying that you can't dance. Just for them to listen back what they just said. Because sometimes we just say just whatever. Yes, we're thinking, but we're not really.
Let's do this exercise now. Then, repeating, right? Repeating what they just said. Or you can ask me as well.
Well, you can go for it.
Okay. Baby, I really wish we could dance together someday.
You know, I'm not a professional dancer. I'm not a dancer. I wasn't born to dance.
So you're saying you were not a professional dancer and you were not born to dance?
Yeah. Think about it. Think about it. He just have to go like, what?
You made me think.
Who said I have to become a professional dancer? My wife want to just enjoy a dancing here. Right. A little dance.
And how crazy am I to really go there? Like, to really think that to be a dancer, I need to be a professional.
Exactly.
But we make those rules right for ourselves. Like people.
We judge.
Because if he just, if you can get him to just imagine it, and try to create the feeling of freedom by, I don't know, in a trip, street somewhere, or like seeing himself enjoying a dance for real, you know, like I remember seeing people working with people that have fear of elevators, and that is a documentary, small documentary about Richard Bender from NLP doing that, and making the person rehearse it. Because this person for something like 20 years never goes to an airplane. Wow. By this conversation, she was going to build an airplane today.
Like, it's because we create those beliefs that we carry with
us. A little trauma happens.
And sometimes we can just throw it away, let it go, which is not easy. But
I remember one thing that you told me, that you could wait for a you're supposed to sleep.
Yeah, be careful with this technique.
No, use for dance.
Yeah,
don't give them ideas. Wait for them to sleep. And then you just say very close to them whenever they're sleeping, oh, I love to dance with my wife. Oh, how it's so lovely to dance with her. We have such a great time when you dance. I can't wait to wake up and dance.
And you can say it directly too. Yeah, we enjoy dancing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You're such a great dancer. Yeah.
Oh, no, no, that's the balloon on top of the morning.
He's going to
be wow.
No, that's not going to happen.
That'd be great.
Amen. Yeah, but guys, if we can get people to just have this beginner's mind, mm-hmm. like my wife has an incredible student that she started after she was older. She started after 40s.
Wow.
And she take it serious. She take ballet. Her thing was ballet, and of course, ballroom, other things will be even more enjoyable for you because ballet at the beginning is hard life. Yeah. Change your bones and your muscles and your joints. Yeah. But in to learn a small waltz with your husband or a little bolero, you know, like or salsa, whatever it is that maybe sometimes it depends. Your husband comes from a country that salsa is very powerful and he grew up listening to salsa. A little bit to make him try. Soon he's like, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if he's not, if he's a very, he's a much more conservative person and much more like difficult for him to learn.
Open up
and relax. Step by step, he will.
I think the goal to everything in life to make something happen is like little by little.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna happen overnight.
Dedication.
Yes.
Know how to talk to each other. It's very important because, mm-hmm. you know, we as married couples,
communication.
As couples, we always tend to rush things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to understand that it's two different people, completely different individuals.
Like the saying, and I'm just putting the word down.
Meditation, yes.
Yeah.
Being
kind to one another. It's not easy.
And that's also important. Understanding their time too. Maybe you would take, of course, we did that at like just an example, a scenery, and everything went good in less than 5 minutes. But maybe it would take more than one day to mm-hmm. not convince him, but to put this perspective into his life.
Not giving up.
Yeah, not giving up and be respectful.
Yeah, it depends also. Yes, it depends also on the family. Because I have a student that her whole family decide to do a full program on fitness. So they bought this program and they would just do the whole family together.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it was more like Tony Horton, the guy that it's a program on Gaia's fitness, and he has like three seasons. This family just did everything. I think it was every Saturday and Sunday. Wow. They did it. Then they're like a family
great
of martial artists. They're like, oh, the daughter was a ballet dancer, but also black belt in karate. Mm. And they did together as a family. So maybe also, it depends on how your family, because some families are more quiet and calm. It's going to be crazy. You go to your family saying, everybody is dancing. It's going to dance. But if your family, maybe you can convince some of the most exciting people in your family to say, let's do a class together. One
right.
Day. It'll be fun.
I think there are many creative ways that you can implement dance in your family or in your life. Mm-hmm. And even for you to start dance by yourself. Like if you're a junior in this scenario and you don't even have this thoughts, but you're like, oh, I'm afraid to go and take a class.
Do it by yourself.
Follow myself mm-hmm. in front of other people that I don't even know. There's a lot of people like that.
Yes.
There are many online courses. There are many options, creative options for you. Or just do it yourself.
I think that's the goal.
And that's it.
That's the goal.
Be a kid. Yeah. Stop judging. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very difficult, right?
Very difficult, but doable.
But it's a good exercise. It's possible.
It's so good just to say that. Yeah, even if I don't do it, it's just good. Like, forget it.
And prepares you for, let's say you're a lawyer and you have a very difficult case today. Your body is not used to that adrenaline. You practice, read, rotate notes and practice. When you get it in front of the judge and everybody, your legs start to shake, your mouth is dry. What is this? Dancing is going to make you feel comfortable with your body in any situation.
Will set you up for
my, and you cannot even think straight anymore. Now, so if you learn to be comfortable with yourself,
that's something I used to tell parents of my students a lot. Like when they ask me honest opinion, like, is she gonna become a professional dancer? I mean, it wasn't my place to say, but I would always tell them, even if they don't become a professional dancer, dance will be the most important thing you have done to her, because you help her in many other fields. If she goes different paths, it will still help her.
We'll always deal with her. Yeah.
Fields in her life with confidence, yeah. With posture.
A language that will come and change everything.
Language. Yeah.
So that's it. Dance is the answer, one way or the other.
Yes, it is. So we want to thank Humberto.
Thank you so much, Alice.
We've been talking about this for a long time, and we finally made it happen. And he was all nervous about it because he talked to us all the time in person. He is an entertainer.
He's exactly the same way.
Yeah.
But except he usually doesn't sit down.
No. He is always standing and always give you exercises and things and tools for you to deal with things in life. And so it's very hard to have him seated here with us, but he did very good.
I appreciate one that
I have you. I really like to have you here because it's good to share, because I'm sure the same way you touch our hearts, you're going to touch
other people's
hearts as well. And yes, we hope this goes to exactly those people that need to hear something about
Exactly. So with that, we want to thank you guys for watching. We thank you guys for subscribing to our channel. If you haven't done so, please do. And leave us a comment down here. Let us know if you watched this podcast episode. And if you have any questions, feel free to leave it here. And we'll be trying to answer the next episode.
We can make many more pretending. We love to play pretending.
All that. Yes. We'll prepare some more cool stuff.
Then yeah,
don't put any names on it, so don't feel shy. Just write it off.
And yes.
We can just do as if to know Anna.
So yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. What?
Keep the microphone alive.
All right.
So 5, 6, 7, 8.
Keep on dancing.